crouches in its dormant form beside the window, mind-bogglingly huge, ready to pounce. At the watchtower's 13th floor, our suite is level with its soap-smooth yet powerful neck. It looks naked, not being striped with the green and black lines bestowed by its legendary pilot pair, but an intense thrill roils through me nonetheless. It's like I'm a kid again, back when I could relish the tales of chrysalises and pilots without thinking about the implications. Ichi! I squeal and grab his arm as he comes beside me. That's the white tiger! The white tiger! Right there! What's the deal? He laughs. The blazing sky flushes his face and ignites his eyes. The wild winds skim a stray hair across his cheek. You pilot the vermilion bird. I sigh. Guilt and cold reality draining my excitement. Even though the white tiger is piloted by a balanced match and is safe to root for, it's still part of this terrible piloting system. I cannot buy into the fantasy of power and heroism that hides the true horrors. Right. I tuck the stray strand of hair behind Yi's ear, then peer at the ceiling. Du Gu Qie Luo and Yang Jian live in the loft, right? Wonderful, run into them. Yi shies at my touch but smiles wryly. I heard it's best never to cross paths with Du Gu Qie Luo. Oh, please. You know they exaggerate any stories about a girl with an attitude. Besides, isn't Yang Jian the one I should be worrying about? I drop my voice. He is distantly related to Yang Guang, right? I heard they didn't get along, Yi shrugs. Plus, he's a freaking prince general. He wouldn't do something as impulsive as Xing Tian. I hope you're right. I don't want to worry about another. Li Shiming's looming figure catches the corner of my eyes. He's standing outside the kitchen, the fiery sunset gleaming off his glasses. My hand springs from Yi's arm as if scalded. I'll start brewing the medicine. Yi manages a smile, lifting the paper-wrapped package of herbs that the army doctors recommended for Li Shiming. They prescribed some expensive lab medicine too, but traditional herbal remedies are better for qi flow in the long run. As Yi sets up a clay pot, I leave the kitchen. Li Shiming doesn't get out of my way, even when my face nearly skims his chest. My ribs cringe against my lungs. But I click the glass door shut behind me, shoulder past him, and sit down at the table, acting nonchalant. The weight of his gaze follows me, clings to me, presses down on me. Footsteps. Wood screeches against tiles as he pulls a chair out and sits down as well. A prickle travels up my spine and over my scalp. My throat goes dry. I eye the bulky metal front door that's preventing me from escaping. The memory of him smashing the fire pilot's face against our cafeteria table shudders through my mind. I keep my eyes on the table's sticky vinyl surface, heart pounding out a prayer for him not to ask questions about me and Yi. Then I snap out of it. Countless times, I watched my father turn my mother into a nervous wreck by simply transforming himself into a dark cloud of a presence. He wouldn't use any curses or shouts, but he'd set his bowl down a little too loudly or slam doors a little too harshly. She'd step cautiously around him as if he were a bomb, worrying about her every move for fear of setting him off. Without uttering a single word, he'd teach her to twist herself into knots to prioritize his needs and wants in some strangling hope of quelling the pressure in the house and returning things to normal. I was never willing to learn my father's lessons. My default solution was always to push him until he exploded. A few moments of pain were better than days and nights of fear. Do you have a problem? I hiss under my breath, jerking my head up. Li Shiming's gaze bounces away from mine, but his shoulders keep quivering with strain. The dark circles under his eyes look dented into his bones. His lips press into a tight, flat line as if holding back a shout or a cry of pain. His body is a war zone of conflicting things. I can't tell what's a symptom and what's an emotion. Water boils and whistles from the clay pot, muffled through the kitchen doors. Steam fogs up the glass, lit a volcanic orange by the falling sun. Don't sulk. My fingers retract like claws across the tabletop. I hate guys who sulk. Shock flashes across Li Shiming's face. Then between ragged breaths, he starts speaking.
I just didn't know you were capable of looking that happy.
And that bothers you?
You're hiding something.
Believe whatever you want. We're not a real couple. I owe you nothing. A muscle works in his jaw. He adjusts the wristlet Yizhi gave him to keep track of his biostats.
This isn't about that. This is about us having to be honest with each other. Whatever it is, I could find out in our battle link, and it could ruin our synchronization if it's shocking enough. So, what really happened last night?
I grunt. Fine. Better to come clean early than to let his suspicions brew. The important thing is that the army stays ignorant, and I doubt he'll blab to them when Yizhi is doing so much to help us. I lean over the table while beckoning for Li Shiming to come closer. He does. Our faces pass each other. His stubble almost grazes my cheek.
Remember that city boy I told you about? The one who taught me to read?
I whisper near his ear, my eyes sliding toward the orange misted kitchen doors. Yizhi's flowing robed figure shifts like smoke behind them.
That's him, right there.
Li Shiming's chest hitches. He pulls back slightly.
He came here for you.
Yes, he did. A soft breath shudders out of his mouth, the heat ghosting past my cheek. To my surprise, his eyes moisten. Or maybe it's just his glasses reflecting the orange light.
And do you love him?
He whispers, without malice, without accusation. My everything comes to a standstill. I've never admitted it out loud, but when I look deep inside myself, the answer is clear, undeniable. I do. My voice trembles as hard as Li Shiming's hands. He's the most amazing boy to ever walk this planet. His brows squeeze upward.
And yet you chose to enlist over him?
I fall back against my seat. How is Li Shiming sounding like a naive romantic? Yes, because love doesn't solve problems, I say. Solving problems solves problems.
Poor guy.
Li Shiming gazes at the kitchen doors, then back at me, shaking his head slightly.
Don't you ever let that boy go again.
Too bad. I pick at the edge of the table. You're the one I'm stuck with. Yet after the night deepens, after failing to control my whirlwind of thoughts, it's Yizhi's door I knock on.
Zhetian?
He blinks sleepily while opening the door.
What are you?
I grab his face and pull him into a kiss. His words muffle against my lips, dispersing into hot, brilliant tingles that tide through me. They streak across my nerves, jolting lower, lower, awakening the parts of me I've been taught to hide and ignore my whole life. Because although they are part of me, they were never for my free use. They hold my family's honor, their property that must not be damaged before delivery. They're meant to be saved for my eventual husband. For Yang Guang, for Li Shiming, to pleasure him, to extend his bloodline. Well, fuck that. I push Yizhi farther into the room. A nudge of my hand closes the door behind us. Our frantic breathing and the soft sounds of our mingling mouths crowd around my head, making the world shrink down to just the two of us. This is a different kind of desperation than our first kiss, right before I left him to come here. Feather's soft heat boils through my body and stretches a tender, aching tension in me to the point of snapping. I hate that I'm not immune from this want, this need. But if it's him, it just might be okay. He steps back, carried by my momentum, but then stumbles. He pries himself from the kiss.
Zhetian, we shouldn't,
he says, light and airy. His hair is completely down,
the first time I've seen it so. It frames his elegant face, making him look so vulnerable, so beautiful. Moonlight strains through a thin curtain, caressing his features as if it adores him too. Yiju, we're finally alone, I whisper, peering up at him through my lashes. Truly alone, and I know you want me. I take his hands and guide them over the curves of my body, emboldened by the anxiety that something ever more terrible might happen at any time and cost us the chance to do this. You've wanted me since the first time we met, isn't that right? 3 years ago, when we were both 15, I found him meditating near one of my favorite herb bushes. I had never seen anyone with skin that clear, hair that glossy, or clothes that clean and white. It was unnatural. So I snapped a branch off the nearest tree and attacked him. I have no idea why he ended up promising to come back, but whatever it is about me, it made him keep that promise again and again at the end of every month. It spellbinds him still, intoxicating him, clouding over his eyes. He bites his lip. I want it to be you. I gently trace the bruise around his eye. The bruise he took to save my life. The only flaw I've ever seen on his face. I'll have no regrets if it's you. He tenses twice. First at my words, then again tighter when I skim my lips down the pulse at his neck. His chest lifts with a shaky, almost inaudible gasp. His blood throbs faster and faster near the tip of my tongue. His fingers crumple the size of the proper night robes he got for me. Finally, he pulls my head back with a slight tug on my hair and joins his mouth to mine with an unleashed hunger. An electric storm crackles through me like wood-type tea, wild and lively, the kind of force that drives the rampant growth of all things during springtime. My lips pull into a grin under the onslaught of his. A growl of relief crawls through his throat. So this is what he was holding back while smiling innocently at me and teaching me a world of knowledge I'm not supposed to know. Good. Because this is what I fantasized about as well while acting cool and collected and making wry comments about his class notes. For a sudden, still moment in the madness, like passing the eye of the storm, our eyes meet. His sly, mine challenging. The same dark energy hums between us. It's like seeing each other unmasked for the first time. Then we're back to kissing fervently, longingly. Our hands claw, knead, and swim over each other's bodies, touching one another in all the ways we could not have in the woods, in all the ways we still shouldn't. I urge him forward again, on an angle, until the bend collides with the back of his knees. He slumps onto the silk sheets, the mattress gasping under his weight. His hair flattens out around him. I flip my own over one shoulder while climbing over him, watching the drags of his breaths, running my knuckles along his delicate jawline. He lets out a long exhale, baring the pale column of his neck. I trace the ridges, the valleys. His pulse palpitates against my fingertips. I feel every bit like the fox spirit people believe me to be, here to seduce him and then eat him alive. My fingers slither down, twirl around his robe sash, and pull it loose. Wait. Sudden clarity surges into his eyes. Too late. His robes fall open with a small gust of heat. The sight beneath dazes me. His torso is covered in tattoos. Colorful blossoms outlined by thin gold, entwined in a forest of vines and leaves, roses, lilies, poppies. He sits up, gaze unreadable. I scoot back in his lap to accommodate the motion. Do you know what these mean? He mumbles huskily, touching a poppy on his chest. No? I shake my head while taking in more details. Dragonflies, butterflies, moths. And the vines aren't just vines. Some of them are snakes. They mean I'm part of the family. His jaw tightens. My father's family. He makes you and your siblings get tattoos? The lean muscles in his body slacken. His expression turns both sad and amused. Some of us. Chills crawl up my scalp. There's something he's not elaborating on. Is this good or bad? Depends on your perspective. He caresses my cheek, smile softening. Then he lies back while guiding me down again. Someday, I'll explain it better. He whispers in my ear while shrugging off his robe top. I move to kiss him again, hair swishing over his. But something's not the same. Deep in my mind, something has cooled off. My awareness lingers on his tattoos. They meander over his shoulders and down to his elbows. I've seen his floppy luxury brand sleeves slump near there so many times, yet never have I suspected that all of this could be lurking just beyond the perfect pale skin of his forearms. My mind reels back, farther and farther from where it should be, splintering. Cold logic warms into the cracks. I've always known Yi Zhi wasn't a good person. The only utterly good people in the world are either naive or delusional. I could never associate with someone like that. There was always an element of danger, an edge of a thrill to our meetups. I could have died if someone had caught us together. He knew this. No one truly pure would have continued subjecting me to that kind of pressure. But how far does the darkness in him go? How well can I really know someone after seeing them a mere once per month for 3 years? What do I actually know about doing this? A growing anxiety simmers in me. I kiss him harder, drawing a sweet thread of blood, yet it just feels more wrong. Images shred through the mess in my head. Me not resisting as Yang Guang hovers over me. His armored weight trapping my body, his mouth kissing me just like this. Me not being able to resist as Xing Tian straddles and strangles me. Me not wanting to resist as Li Shiming leans over a puddle of fresh blood on our cafeteria table, flashing a rare, precious smile. I jolt up in a burst of horror. The trance clears from Yi's eyes. What's wrong? It's nothing. I rattle my head, leaning down again. Beep, beep, beep. Our eyes whip toward the wristlet on the nightstand. Yi gives a reassuring pat to my shoulder, then maneuvers out from beneath me to go check it. The screen illuminates his face. His features twist with shock. He grabs his robe top and dashes from the bed. It's Shiming, he gasps, ripping his door open while dressing. His heart rate is spiking out of control. Chapter 22. Mess. We find Li Shiming collapsed on the floor of his room, clutching the woven mats in agony. Shiming, Yi drops down beside him, taking his hand, feeling around his wrist to diagnose his pulse. A slight hoarseness in Yi's voice is the only indicator of what we were doing. What are you feeling right now?
Wanda.
Li Shiming looks at Yi with an expression so raw and tender, it stops me dead in the doorway, my moon-cut shadow looming over the pair of them. He cups Yi's face with a scarred shaking hand. Then terror kindles in his eyes, and he pushes at Yi.
Don't. No. Get away from me, Winda. Don't go into the cockpit.
What in the skies is wrong with him? I make myself totter in and crouch down. The smell of acid and herbs gags me. He must have retched up all the medicine Yi barely managed to coax into him. He's hallucinating and delirious. Yi grimaces with his fingers on Li Shiming's pulse, then brushes Li Shiming's short hair out of the way and puts his forehead to his. And he's burning up, skies. All this just from not drinking alcohol? That's exactly how bad withdrawal can get, Zhe Tian. Stay with him. I'll go call Sima Yi and the doctors, outside. Yi pushes off the woven mats. I think
I'm confusing him. Winda,
Li Shiming latches to Yizhi's robes.
Don't go into the cockpit. Don't go.
A startling feeling clamps around my heart. Shaking it away, I wrench Li Shiming's face toward me. That's not your dead partner.
Zhe Tian,
Yizhi gently berates over his shoulder as he shuffles out of the room. No need to make it harder on him. I huff, but catch Li Shiming's lolling head. His scalp heats my palm through his chopped hair. Sweat beads at their roots. A tremor comes over me, almost matching his. I gnash my teeth together. Why does my body keep reacting to him in ways I don't want it to? Is my subconsciousness that determined to serve the male master the world appoints for me? I hate you. My voice squeezes high and unsteady. You're messing me up. His gaze swims in and out of focus.
Sorry.
And stop apologizing.
Sorry.
His eyelids fall shut, yet continue to quiver.
Ayya! I didn't know it had gotten this bad,
Sima Yi grumbles, rocking on a stool in the medical bay. His hair is tied in a hasty top knot, and his strategist coat is draped over his night robe like a cloak.
I cannot believe the incompetent fools at Shui Tan let it get to this point.
Central Command wasn't aware of his condition? Yizhi sits on another stool beside Li Shiming's bed, holding his hand while he shakes uncontrollably.
No, he wasn't like this when I trained him. I even left them with a detailed training plan, yet here we are.
Sima Yi draws his robe coat tighter and turns away.
Though it's true that I didn't leave him in the best mental state after what happened with Winda. They likely got tired of dealing with his emotions and just enabled him.
I sit near the other side of the bed, pressing down on Li Shiming's quivering arm. The tremors are so bad the army doctors have left us for now, saying they can't do acupuncture until the lab medicine injected into his bloodstream calms his nerves. Medicine like that makes me nervous. It's not natural to mess with your qi flow that drastically. But I guess that was exactly what he was doing with the alcohol, long term. The doctors say Li Shiming's primordial qi, the qi that breathed life into him, that runs out over a lifetime with no possibility of being replenished, has been severely damaged, and his liver is hanging on by a thread. We can't call the detoxing off. If he relapses, the next withdrawal will be worse, and no one knows if he'll survive that. No one knows if he'll survive this. A thin pitch sharpens between my ears. The world crumples away, closing in on Li Shiming's trembling arm in my grip. Wouldn't it be perfect if he died now? If I kill him in the Vermilion Bird, the Hunduins will sense his death and be pacified into backing off a little, so the army will feel less pressure to keep me around. But if he dies of natural causes, not only will the army have no crime to execute me for, the Hunduins will keep coming at their current intensity. The power vacuum might make the army desperate enough to let me inherit the bird in my own right. Especially when he lost half his liver in prison. Yizhi's words rupture my reverie. Wait, what? I blink, raising my head. Half a liver and one kidney. Yizhi's eyes flick up at me. That's what they take from every healthy death row inmate, for anyone who needs a transplant. My blood crawls into slush. The kidneys are the most important vessels for primordial qi. By losing one, Li Shiming's healthy lifespan has essentially been slashed in half.
Could you not buy him replacements from another murderer?
Sima Yi asks. I could, Yizhi says. But a surgery that big would leave him unable to pilot for months, way longer than this. Would the army sign off on that? Sima Yi's mouth goes tight.
Not until after we take back Zhou.
Always comes back to that, doesn't it? Yizhi sighs, clasping Li Shiming's hand tighter. I can't stop staring at their joined hands, a slender one meant for sorting medicinal herbs and pipetting solutions in a lab, entwined with a brutalized one meant for beating enemies half to death, or for conjuring poems in stunning calligraphy, apparently. My awareness strays to Li Shiming's face, then darts away from the anguish contorting his features. No, never mind. He can't die like this. Yi Zhi would be held responsible for making him detox. Power through this, iron demon. I squeeze his arm. He coughs, dry and raspy. He tries to get up. Don't move. Yi Zhi rushes to cradle his head.
Don't go,
Li Shiming murmurs, nuzzling against Yi Zhi's hand. I won't. My gut twists. This level of caring for someone else is beyond me. I shouldn't rely on Yi Zhi, shouldn't drag him into my mess, yet I could never support Li Shiming through this. Yi Zhi helps him to a mug of water. Li Shiming takes a shaky sip, then immediately retches over the side of the bed. I suck in a sharp breath when blood dribbles out of his mouth in addition to acid. Then everything goes red. An alarm bleats through the watchtower's concrete hollows. A large round bulb on the ceiling floods the room with a warning light. I sit straighter. Sima Yi rises from his stool, mouth moving absently and inaudibly over the sirens before he raises his voice. This is very soon for another Huindun attack. Does it concern us? I shout. No, ignore it. Sima Yi waves his hand, sitting back down. You aren't on active duty. Right, I say, but can't wrestle down the urge to do something. It feels different now that I know there's such war-changing power within me. Like every girl that dies after this would be partly my fault. A massive crash outside quakes the walls, then another, then another, then another, growing in speed. I stagger up from my stool and toward the buzzing window. I throw the curtain aside. The white tiger has awakened. It races away from the watchtower on all fours, its pale limbs striped by green and black, blur into spectral streaks smearing into the night. The thundering impacts of its motion swiftly fade out. Metal-type chrysalises may not be good at conducting qi into outward blasts, but they can harness their internal properties. The lively wood qi humming through its body makes it run astoundingly fast, while the adaptive water qi keeps its movements fluid and easy. Wow, I breathe, relaxing a little. Look, I turn to Yi Zhi. He's paying no attention. Instead, he's wiping the blood from Li Shiming's mouth with a wad of gauze, saying something I can't hear over the sirens. Li Shiming nods, though he keeps shivering like it's the dead of winter. An absurd feeling of being left out throbs within me. But it's not like this room needs two Yi Zhis. I have my own strengths in other things. The sirens fade after a minute, giving way to the tinny noises from a live stream Sima Yi opened on his wristlet. I limp over to him, kneading along the bed frame for balance. With a burst of green light on the screen and a roar that crackles the speakers, the white tiger rises on its hind paws while transforming. Legs lengthening, shoulders growing, paws extending into clawed hands. Its jaw gapes wide, and a human face morphs out inside it, so it ends up looking like a warrior wearing a tiger helmet. Its torso becomes like armor sculpted from milky glass. Solid green and black highlights transmute around every piece. A heroic form achieved in less than 3 seconds. Even though metal-type chrysalises are the second hardest to transform, right after earth-types. How do they work together so well? I shake my head. What's the secret? They know they're supposed to be a team. Sima Yi angles an unamused, condemning look at me. A strange shame sears through me. They do the parts they're good at, then pull back when it's necessary. They don't fight each other for control. They trust each other. The white tiger slaps its breastplate and begins wrenching a long dagger axe, its signature weapon, out of its chest. Its eyes dim from wood green to water black, from most yang to most yin, which makes sense because while wood tea is best for triggering transformations, it's water tea that's best for shaping spirit metal. A black hazed dent sinks around the dagger axe as it emerges. The moment the end snaps free, the breastplate morphs back to its original look. Twirling the dagger axe, the tiger takes a springing leap into battle. Its eyes change color, one green and one black. Two T's surging in sync, two hearts beating as one. It vaults, stabs, and sweeps through a glinting swarm of Hunduins. I peer at Li Shiming over the top edge of the screen. My teeth dig into my lip. "Hey, what's that noise?" Yizhi's head perks up. "The bat," I start, but then I hear it too. A storm of bootsteps grows steadily louder in the hall outside. Shouts surge from the soldiers at the door. I look to Sima Yi. Before anything helpful makes it out of his mouth, the door bursts open, revealing a strategist with a huge pot belly. He must be An Lushan, chief strategist of the Shui Tong frontier. Sima Yi cracked a few jokes about him during my solo lessons.
"Here you are,"
he breathes deeply, then points at Li Shiming.
"You, into battle, now."
Chapter 23, Utter and Mutual Misery.
"No,"
Yizhi, Sima Yi, and I exclaim at once.
"This is an order,"
An Lushan keeps scowling at Li Shiming.
"Get on a shuttle and head for the Vermilion Bird, immediately."
Soldiers pour into the room like clots of blood in the red light, but not all of them point their guns at us. The ones who came with Sima Yi turn around, guarding him. The two sides hold each other at gunpoint, but confusion and uncertainty flicker across the soldiers' faces and stances.
"Pilot Li is in no condition to battle."
Sima Yi hops off his stool and marches in front of the bed. He would look a lot more assertive if he weren't dressed like he's on a midnight trip to the lavatory.
"He was certainly well enough to beat up two of my pilots yesterday."
An Lushan approaches, steps shockingly light and nimble. My body screams with the urge to back away, toward Yizhi, toward some semblance of safety. But I cannot betray that level of weakness. I stay rooted in place, bracing myself with Sima Yi's stool to keep from falling over.
"He's going through alcohol withdrawal now." Yizhi pushes to his feet, stool screeching back. His fingers linger on Li Shiming's shoulder.
"Oh, I know."
An Lushan's eyes crinkle.
"But this is an urgent situation. A pilot must always be ready to give their all for the sake of Huaxia."
"It's only been 2 days since their last battle,"
Sima Yi says in his bone-jolting commander voice. His personality makes it easy to forget his true stature in the army sometimes. But this tone never fails to slam in a reminder.
2 days. Strategist An, are you mad trying to send them in again?
An Lushan shakes his head slowly.
Strategist Sima, the fact of the matter is, the unnatural transformations of the nine-tailed fox and the vermilion bird have agitated the Hunduins beyond our normal defense capacities.
His scrutiny slicks past me, leaving my skin crawling.
A compromise must be made.
No!
Sima Yi's eyes slash into daggers.
No, you are not tributing him. Well, we, the senior strategists of Shui Tong, who actually know the intricacies of this frontier, have just reached a majority agreement that this would be for the best. Pilot Lee has been impossible to control. Every time he's summoned for battle, it's like trying to take a bull to slaughter, when it's not even his life that's at risk. We cannot factor him properly into our tactics at all. Highest spirit pressure since Emperor General Ting himself, and you want to tribute him? In the name of Central Command, I will not allow this.
When under direct and active threat, local strategists reserve the right to deploy any pilot as deemed necessary. An Lushan's nostrils flare. And we have deemed this necessary to protect our troops and our people.
Sima Yi is not winning this argument. An Lushan and his soldiers seem to close in like figures in a blood-tinged nightmare, even though their boots haven't budged. My knees wobble, and I try to gulp down breaths to calm myself. But urgency froths over in me, and I have to do something.
Hey, I jut my chin. Does tributing a pilot mean what I think it means?
An Lushan's glare slices into me.
Shut your mouth. The men are talking. Rage charges my body, scattering my fear, setting every muscle on edge. I scan the soldiers and their guns, wondering if it'd be worth getting shot to break An Lushan's nose.
Tributing is the ultimate coward's way out, is what it is.
Sima Yi responds without taking his eyes off An Lushan.
With all due respect, strategist Sima, we don't have time for this. Huaxia's safety is at stake.
An Lushan tilts his head, an eerie scarlet glint dancing in his eyes. He makes a gesture at a soldier beside him. The soldier brings a full bottle of grain liquor out from behind his back. Wheezing out a gasp, Li Shiming lunges for it. Exclamations erupt from Yi Zhi and Sima Yi as they hold him back. I falter against Sima Yi's stool, head spinning, pulse quickening with explosive force. Why do they have that bottle ready? An Lushan takes it from the soldier and dangles it by its neck. He shoots Li Shiming a pitying look.
You want this, don't you? You know the deal. Go battle like a good boy, and this is yours.
Bile scorches up my throat. This has happened before. This is why the Shui Tang frontier has enabled Li Shiming's drinking. They've gotten him to go into his chrysalis and sacrifice girls by using liquor as bait. I stomp through the pain in my feet and smack the bottle from An Lushan's pinching fingers. It smashes on the floor in an eruption of glass, fluid, and noxious fumes. He gapes at me, then his arm jerks. The slap collides with my already bruised cheek, flinging me against the foot of the bed. Heat and pain shatter through my face. A ringing drawls through my skull.
Jiutian! Yi Zhi rushes to my side. Rich boy, get her! Go, go, go!
Sima Yi drags Li Shiming off the bed and charges for the door. There's only a brief flash of bewilderment in Yi Zhi's eyes before he scoops me up.
You can't shoot me! I'm from Central Command!
Sima Yi shouts, ramming through the soldier standoff.
You can't shoot me! I'm rich!
Yi Zhi slips through the opening created. They haul me and Li Shiming into the hallway, bathed a darker red than the room. Boot steps clatter after us, but they remain slow and hesitant. The soldiers must be confused by this power struggle between Central Command and the local strategists. An Lushan bellows curses over our heads. The mighty sounds bounce around the walls. I dip and sway in Yi's arms, my weight curling him over. Li Shiming staggers on with Sima Yi's help. Our eyes meet in a moment of utter and mutual misery. Maybe it'd be better to throw our lives away in the Vermilion Bird after all, just to stop being so helpless. But then I'm furious. I'm this way because my family crushed my feet in half when I was 5. How did he end up like this? Sima Yi scans his wristlet at an elevator. Beep. He shoves Li Shiming through the opening doors. Yi Zhi carries me in, then collapses to the ground, gasping for breath. Sima Yi jabs a button repeatedly. The doors start gliding shut as the soldiers approach. Close, close, close! I scream in my head. The doors slide past their faces, but someone's hand darts through the final gap. Just as I'm about to tear my hair out, Yi Zhi stabs it with a syringe from his robe pocket. The hand slithers out like a startled snake. The elevator rumbles, then scrapes downward. Heavy breathing, buzzing metal. You! I stagger upright and shove Li Shiming on the chest. He's so weak he crashes against a wall, rocking the whole elevator and slumps to the ground. I ignore the protest from Yi Zhi and Sima Yi. You've let him manipulate you into battle with that trick before, haven't you? With labored effort, Li Shiming sits up against the wall. He wrings his shaking hands together and presses them to his forehead. No answer. Yi Zhi reaches for my shoulder. Zhe, you sacrifice girls like they tell you to so you can drink again when it's all over, don't you? I scream louder, batting Yi Zhi's hand away. That's never the whole reason. Li Shiming chokes out, chin snapping up, smeared with vomited blood as if he just devoured a freshly extracted heart. Stop it! Sima Yi barges between us, barring my chest with his arm. It seems to me like it's a pretty strong factor, I keep yelling. You knew that a girl would die every time you activated a chrysalis. You knew that, and yet you decided that your liquor was worth more than their lives. Zhe Tian, Yi Zhi raises his voice. I flinch. He has never spoken to me like this. His eyes soften immediately. Zhe Tian, he's legitimately ill. The brain is just another organ, and he is sick. He can't will his mind to stop wanting alcohol, any more than someone with a cold can will their lungs to stop aching. It makes him not himself. Please, try harder to understand. No, she's right. Li Shiming rises on his knees, glaring at me from under his wild hair. This is exactly who I am. But it was never the alcohol that I decided was worth more than those girls. It was me. I let them die to save myself. Every single time. That's the truth you want me to admit, isn't it? He coughs. Blood splatters out of his mouth, which he shields with his wrist. Well, there it is. Happy? He lashes his bloody arm to the side. His hoarse voice rings into oblivion. The elevator grinds deeper and deeper, swaying. The trails of tears shining down to his jaw are too much to look at. Eyes wedging shut, I thump backward against the wall. My heart throbs, a small and lonesome thing in the hollow of my chest. Are you two done? Sima Yi says, sullen. Where are we going? I mumble, cupping my head with both hands. The concubine quarters. Prince General Yang Jian doesn't keep any, so they're empty. We can hide there until the battle ends. Then An Lu Shan won't be able to do anything anymore. But I don't think you two understand how important it is to get over whatever qualms you have with each other. He vibrates with barely contained rage. He was right about one thing. For the Hunduins to attack again this soon, they're reacting as if you've managed a real level 3 transformation in the Vermilion Bird. They too can sense that we now have the potential to take out their nest in Zhou. They'll attack and attack.
until we either lose enough chrysalises to lose our advantage or actually gamble everything on a counterattack. But until you two get your act together, your potential won't translate into substance. Chief Strategist Zhuge and I will be powerless to stop you from getting tributed when things get worse. Do you hear me?
Is being tributed exactly what it sounds like?
Yiji repeats my question from earlier, and I'm grateful, because I can't find the strength to shape any words.
Sima Yi massages the bridge of his nose.
Yes. It's when pilots are deliberately and abruptly pushed into battle in subpar circumstances, so the Huinduins can feel their deaths happen and be appeased. Obviously, it's not talked about openly, but it happens, especially to pilots deemed too difficult or too uncooperative or getting too old.
My stomach pulses against my lungs. 25. That's the age the brain stops developing, stops being malleable enough to command a chrysalis well. The age pilots almost never pass. Even 20 is hard enough. This information chills deep into my core. Yet when I think about how things are, how quickly pilots spin in and out of media coverage and popularity, it's not that surprising. Yiji rakes his hands through his hair, messing up his half-do.
Can't you get the sages to order Strategist An to leave them alone?
Sima Yi shakes his lowered head.
Not all the sages believe in the idea of launching a counterattack. Not even all of Central Command. If it doesn't go right, the Huinduins would decimate our forces, breach the wall, and we'd almost certainly lose Tongue, just like we did Zhou.
Blood drains in a tingling tide out of my face. When he puts it that way, I get it. It's our lives against everyone's. My knees buckle. I slump to the ground just like Li Shiming. Everyone in Shui and Tang.
But that's the coward's way of thinking, Sima Yi says with surprising force. How will we ever win the war if we don't gamble on powerful pilots? You both have astronomically rare spirit types, and you've come together. There won't be another chance like this in hundreds of years. I am not giving up on you two.
The elevator clatters. Once again, my eyes and Li Shiming's find each other in misery. I can't kill him. Not even in a chrysalis. Clearly, a good portion of the army would rather tribute the pilots they don't like than use their power, no matter how rare and incredible it is. Maybe he and I are truly like two wing-sharing birds, those pitiful creatures that hobble around the forest floor with one wing and one eye, who can only take flight if they find a mate to lean on. I let out a growl of frustration, digging the heels of my hands against my temples. This is wrong, all wrong. He and I are the two most powerful pilots in Huaxia by a gigantic margin. He should be the Iron King, and I should be the Iron Queen. Yet Iron Demon and Iron Widow is all they'll let us be. This will not do. I will not let this power go. But if there is one thing I've learned so far, it's that brute strength means nothing on its own. It just makes everyone else want to strike you down. I need friends, allies, someone actually from the Shui Tang frontier instead of Sima Yi and Chief Strategist Zhuge, who are no doubt pissing off the Shui Tang strategists harder by overruling from above. I need someone who can convince these strategists to reverse their emergency vote to tribute us. I need help from someone like Du Gu Qie Luo. When Sima Yi turns on his livestream again, I watch the white tiger intently. I think of all people, Qie Luo would understand me best. She was the most powerful female pilot before I came along, after all. And she must have gotten familiar enough with the Shui Tang strategists in her 7 years of service to potentially change their minds. It's about time I paid her a visit. Chapter 24, The Tigress. An Lushan is, of course, livid at the stunt we pulled. But with chief strategist Zhuge Liang on our side, he couldn't do much against us after the battle ended. We can't coast on that forever, though. The various frontiers and their local strategists may technically be under the authority of Central Command, but Central Command answers to the sages and can't claim to know the intricacies of each region. If every single senior Shui Tang strategist insists it's a better idea to tribute us than to risk our continued existence, the sages will take their word, even if Central Command is an all-star team of the best and most experienced strategists from across Huaxia. We need to start changing attitudes fast. Even though the Kaihuang Watchtower is right in front of the Tiger Cage training camp, some rigid rule forces Qie Luo and Yang Jiang to relocate from their luxury loft to a camp bunker all the same once they're qi exhausted and off duty. So there's an opportunity to catch Qie Luo at the communal showers. With a jade necklace as incentive, courtesy of Yi Zhi after we waited out the battle, the auntie who manages the showers alerts me the next time Qie Luo shows up. When I push through the shower's translucent vinyl curtains, naked, I find half a dozen women and a few children in the steam, mostly servant aunties, I'm assuming, and Dugu Qie Luo. She's impossible to miss. She's sitting on a short wooden stool away from everyone else, shampooing her hair. The metal white spinal brace from her white tiger armor runs like a strip of porcelain down her back. With that on, and its connection needles constantly in her spine, she'd only have to lean against the rest of her armor to reconnect with it. This saves pilots from having to endure the jab of the needles over and over. The needles are thin enough that they don't impact the regular mobility of pilots. I stand rooted to the tiled floor for a few moments, gripping my basket of small glass toiletry bottles. Despite the whole baffling list of things I've been through, Qie Luo's presence makes me feel like a simple frontier peasant again, unworthy of gazing upon a princess general, the highest status a girl could achieve. Until you, I remind myself. I grab a stool and totter over to her. Her shampooing hands halt when I clank my stool down beside her. A caged heat lamp seethes in a crevice in the wall, infusing the steam with a taste of wet metal. Slowly she turns to me, features stiff with offense. But upon catching sight of my face, she abruptly slackens with surprise. Her irises sizzle with her wood-green tea. A spinal brace still works to conduct it. I struggle not to make the same expression because, oh skies, Dugu Qie Luo is looking right at me. Hi. I clear my throat, carefully sitting down on my stool. I'm Wu Zhetian. I'm new. She narrows her eyes, which are even more deep-set and blade-like than Li Shiming's, given her full Rongdi heritage. Yes, you. My mouth dries up. I catch sight of her feet, unbound in wooden slippers. We Han folks scoff at the Rongdi for being barbarians who let their women run around everywhere. Yet right now, it's me who wants to tuck my deformed, civilized feet out of sight. I sputter out. I just thought we should meet, Miss, Ma'am, Lady Dugu. She juts her sharp chin. It's Princess General Dugu. Heat whooshes in my head. Right, Princess General. She turns on her shower with a shrill squeak. What's wrong with your face? Oh, I touched a monstrous bruise on my cheek. I got attacked twice.
She rinses her hair aggressively. And you think I care?
I bite my lip to stop myself from pointing out that she was the one who asked.
No, I'm not expecting you to.
Then why are you here?
Trying to get on my good side to get favors from me?
My flush deepens. That's not untrue.
I just wanted to meet. Let me tell you something, Fox Girl.
Her gaze slashes into mine, crackling a brighter electric green.
I know your type, so it's best that you stay away from me, and especially away from my partner.
What?
Stay away from my partner.
What? How is that relevant?
You think you're the hottest new shit? You think you're special? The Iron Widow of the Nine-Tailed Fox?
If you're talking about the stuff in the media, that's completely beyond my control. I was locked up for almost 2 weeks with no knowledge of it whatsoever.
She wrings a towel on her lap. You know what I saw in my battle link yesterday?
You.
You in my partner's head.
Fury, blackened by disappointment, rushes through me like toxic smoke.
And that's my fault? Are you kidding me? I'm here trying to talk to you girl to girl, yet you... Are you incapable of using your brain for anything but a man?
Her arm moves too fast. My head crashes into the tiled wall. Pain bursts through my skull. My stool skids, tangling in my legs. I slip and collapse to the slimy floor, winded by agony.
Stay away from my partner, you man-killing whore!
Tia Luo snaps, towering over me. She leaves me in a puddle of cold, clammy water, her unbound feet slapping assuredly over porcelain, the way mine never can. Chapter 25. Prey. My head swivels and pulses in a hot haze of pain. I clutch it for a solid minute before I'm able to move again. Shivering, I sweep my gaze across the sprinkling showers and drifting steam, gauging if everyone else is as shocked as I am. A child cries, another laughs. I catch a few bewildered glances from the other women, but they flit away quickly. Hair gets rinsed with frantic movements. Towels get wrung. Showers get turned off. Glass toiletry bottles get thrown in baskets. Legs hurry to leave. I can't believe this. I clank my stool onto its legs again and drag myself back up, pressing my palms to my eyes. They ache with the pressure of surging tears, which pool in my hands and leak down my wrists. I grit my teeth. My chest hitches and shudders. Solid footsteps patter my way. I whip around, tensing, thinking Tia Luo is back for more, maybe with a harsher weapon. But it's a different woman.
Are you all right?
She bends low, hair gathered into a bun at her neck, mostly dry but collecting beads of moisture. She's got soft, creaseless eyes, a low nose bridge, and a broad face. She could not look more typically Han if she tried. However, her feet are unbound as well. I realize a second later that I'm ogling them, but I try to pass it off like I'm taking in all of her. But she flashes a dimpled, knowing smile, puts her palms together, and gives a little bow.
Ma Xiuying,
Ying pilot of the Black Tortoise.
Oh,
my brows fly up.
Of course.
One of the other two Iron Princesses, not counting myself. I should have recognized her. The lack of makeup and hairstyling threw me off. Her plain appearance and upbringing are in astounding contrast to her rank. She was a farm girl who never gave a thought to becoming a concubine, or even a wife to a decent family, before a spirit pressure testing team caught her incredible value. She chuckles.
Yes, they call me Big-Footed Ma.
I hurry to return the bow. Aren't you supposed to be in the Ming province?
Yuanzheng and I transferred overnight.
Central Command says there's been some severe Hunduan agitation here. That makes sense. The Black Tortoise is water type. Those are the easiest units to maneuver across vast landscapes, thanks to their flexibility. Yeah, that would be partially my fault. I massage around the hot, swelling bump on my head. I'm glad they had the good sense to send you in. You're definitely more pleasant than her. I glare toward the foggy vinyl curtains sealing the doorway. Xiu Ying laughs, covering her mouth with her hand. To be honest, I came here to get a look at her, too. Guess it was good that I missed the chance to start a conversation. I roll my eyes so hard it shoots another spike of pain through my skull. I can't believe her. Well, you know how those Rondi girls are. They're firecrackers. Xiu Ying leans closer, whispering giddily. She speaks with a heavy northern accent, emphasizing her R's. I heard she held her hunting knife to Prince General Yang's throat on the night of their match crowning and made him vow never to bed another woman. And that's why he never took any concubines. I recoil a little at the way Xiu Ying is saying this, but I have heard that Han Rongdi tensions are higher in the Ming province. I actually have no problem with that, but blaming me because he might have thought about me briefly? That's just ridiculous. Xiu Ying quirks a gently curved brow. Sometimes it's the betrayal of the mind that hurts more, way more than the betrayal of the body. Okay, it is weird that I'm on his mind at all, but still. Xiu Ying shrugs. It's not a surprise that men find you intriguing, especially pilots. If I looked hard during my battle link with Yuan Zhang, I'd probably see traces of you too. Seriously? Men are always enticed by the fresh and new, even if they don't admit it. Anyway, if you want to keep talking, shall we? She gestures to a wooden tub on the other side of the showers. Her two toddler sons are there, giggling and splashing each other. Not wanting to be rude, I force out a smile and wobble over with my stool and basket. But I can't shake the knowledge that Zhu Yuanzhang's concubines filled in for Xiu Ying during the late stages of her pregnancies. Deaths happened when they didn't need to. I don't understand why she had children at all in such a high-risk environment. She's 23, pushing the limits of pilot longevity. Zhu Yuanzhang is even older at 24. In about a year, the army just might tribute them. Though maybe the children were the army's idea to begin with, and I shouldn't be so quick to judge. When a woman gets pregnant, her body is suddenly everybody's business. Endless restrictions could be clamped onto her for the good of the baby. There's no better tool of control. If Li Shiming and I live through these 2 weeks, I can see them forcing him to impregnate me. My stomach ices over at the thought. I grasp my gut, my womb, thoughts tearing in 100 dreadful directions. I blink hard to squeeze the images away.
Biaor, dear, say hi to big sister Wu.
Xiu Ying strides much more steadily than me on her natural feet. Her black spinal brace slithers down her back like a dark snake. I don't think it's a coincidence that 2 out of the 3 Iron Princesses have unbound feet. But when it comes to motherhood, I doubt she had a choice.
Wu jie jie hao,
the boys mumble, suddenly shy. I nod at them, ignoring the gaping doom in my chest, and turn on the shower beside Xiu Ying's. After a rusty squeak, hot water splinters out, washing away the film of slime on me from hitting the floor. By now, every other woman has hurried out. Xiu Ying sits down on a stool and scrubs her children with a towel, but raises her head, expression more somber than before. So, listen, she says. I know I might be stepping out of line, but if there's ever anything you want to talk to someone about, I'm here. I know you're new and must not have access to much. I can lend you anything you need, such as cover powder. Do you have any of your own? Cover powder? I tilt my head. You know, for your... She points around her cheek, then her neck. My hand sails near my bruises. Oh, these? Thanks, but I won't bother. I've got no one to please. Just know that I understand. Light dances in her sad eyes. I know men can get carried away, especially a Rongdi like Pilot Li. My lashes stutter as if they're glitching. Oh, no, these are from... Li Shiming didn't do this. Skies, I'd literally kill him if he did. Oh, my apologies, I just assumed. Why do you have cover powder on hand? I scan her on abrupt alert, though I don't see any bruises, which the water would have revealed. Her gaze hardens again. For the girls who need it, of course. Why cover any of that up? The men who do these things should be judged and killed, not endured. Her mouth parts in surprise, then closes into a weak smile. I can see why they call you the Iron Widow now. I just see no point in tolerating stuff like that. I face the wall, fists curling. Shower water runs in sheets over my vision. Big Sister's ghost smiles in my mind, smiling and smiling and smiling, because skies forbid she be anything but the perfect, obedient daughter. You endure and endure, and for what? As long as you keep appeasing them, keep letting them get their way, why would they ever get better? Violence gets them everything they want. And then what is there in the end but death? But you have to realize that most concubine pilots can't just make a scene. Xiuying says, weary and hollow. The safety and livelihood of their families are on the line. The best we can do is to support each other. Promise me you'll contact me if you need to talk anything out, okay? Something wound tight inside me slowly gives out. She's right. I should try harder to understand. Everyone's in a different situation. Okay, thank you, I say, because she's just looking out for me, and it's honestly nice after what Qie Luo did. In hindsight, I was such a fool to have assumed Qie Luo would stand by me just because she's also female. It was my grandmother who crushed my feet in half. It was my mother who encouraged me and Big Sister to offer ourselves up as concubines so our brother could afford a future bride. It was always the village aunties who'd sit around gossiping about which girl hadn't been married off yet, despite complaining nonstop about their own husbands. And then they'd congratulate new mothers for being blessed to have a boy, despite being female themselves. How do you take the fight out of half the population and render them willing slaves? You tell them they're meant to do nothing but serve from the minute they're born. You tell them they're weak. You tell them they're prey. You tell them over and over until it's the only truth they're capable of living. Back in the suite, in the bathroom, I stare at myself in the mirror. Murky yellow light filters through the frosted glass window. Noises from the never-ending construction projects on the wall clink, patter, and echo outside. Yi Zhi is in Li Shiming's room, staying by him at all times to keep him from slipping through death's gates. I should be sleeping, according to our new nocturnal schedule. Huinduins attack more often at night, so it's better to be awake then and prepare to deal with An Lushan in case another battle happens before we're recharged. Yet how could I rest? I might have gained an ally in Xiuying, but she can't help with our most urgent problems when she has no connections in Shui Tang. Her words and Qie Luo's keep cycling through my head. It's not a surprise that men find you intriguing. Let me tell you something, Fox Girl. I know your type. My type? What exact type is that? Do I come off as some boy-playing, life-ruining vixen that much? I think of the comments Yi Zhi has shown me from people trying to figure out what I am, discussing if the army should use me or execute me. I can imagine why Yang Jian was thinking of me, the freaky new girl who even he, a prince general, wouldn't survive. I shudder to think about what Qie Luo really saw in his mind, but she shouldn't have felt threatened. I doubt it was fueled by anything close to love or respect. But maybe this magnet for attention is a power I'm not tapping into. My blood pumps faster through my veins. I lean closer to the mirror, examining my bruised features. My eyes are haunted, bloodshot, ringed by dark circles. My lips are cracked. My complexion is deathly.
But the base is still there. I've got good bone structure. I watch myself pull back from the mirror, a dark fire igniting in my eyes. People love to ogle pretty girls, but they love to hate them even more. There's no one the masses are more obsessed with railing at than the women who dare to stray from the docile ideal of wives and mothers. Too vain, people like my father curse at those women. Too self-obsessed, too devious, getting everything they want by draining men dry. This is the type of girl Qie Luo thinks I am. By the virtue of what I've done and how I've acted, nothing I say or do can distance me from it. But there is money to be made in being hated this much, and being a source of money means power and protection. Media traffic doesn't care about right or wrong. Every click on a scandalous headline brings profit. Every view of a condemning picture generates revenue. If you're a big enough cash cow, the media companies will lobby and bribe every government connection they have to keep from losing you. I know this because Pan Jinglian, a close friend of Yizhi's family, is constantly in the headlines for being frivolous and outrageous. By all means, the sages should have banned her from the media long ago for corrupting social values. But as long as people can't stop talking about her, the media companies will always support her from the shadows. Yizhi says she knows exactly what she's doing. She laughs at the hateful comments while watching her fortune tick higher and higher. I could go the same route. If I sign a true exclusive contract with a media company, I would make them a lot richer, thus compelling them to support me. I could compel Yizhi's father to support me. A restless momentum spirals to the top of my skull. My hands curl on the sink counter. I've overlooked Gao Qiu all this time because I have no faith in his capacity to be moved by Yizhi's love for me, and I've heard too many stories about his shady business tactics. But the influence of media companies is the only thing I've seen that has changed a pilot's fate. The biggest example is Sun Wukong, ex-pilot of the Monkey King. He helped a distinguished monk cross the Hunduan wilds and complete a legendary mission to retrieve academic manuscripts and tech diagrams from another human stronghold, Indu, which Huaxia has lost communication with after losing Zhou. After his journey to the Western Stronghold memoir and its adaptations, he exploded to such popularity that his media engagements saved him from going into serious battle for the rest of his chrysalis-capable years. He then retired to become an actor and comedian and is still super popular. My brother watches his videos daily. Gao Enterprises is a company that manages him. This means Gao Qiu is capable of stopping a pilot from being tributed. If I start making him an absurd amount of money, I bet he has all sorts of ways to force the straight tongue strategists to change their positions. I hurry out of the lavatory. This time, when I seek out Yizhi, it is not to kiss him. Chapter 26. Despite all that. Dealing with Gao Qiu is exactly as grating as I imagined. He will work in earnest with me only if I prove I can survive Li Shiming again. The sages aren't happy with her, so I'd have to grease a lot of palms to make them look the other way about me promoting her for real, he tells Yizhi over a voice message because he won't speak directly to me. No point doing that if she's just going to die 2 seconds later. So everything still depends on how well Li Shiming and I balance our next battle. My head clears. I stop pushing him away. No matter the things he's done, no matter my mess of feelings about him, after he survives the worst of the withdrawal from Yizhi's help, I do every partner exercise Sima Yi suggests without complaining. Ice dancing, regular dancing, trust falls, balancing on an elevated beam while holding hands, whatever. I don't question his methods. Not even when he tells us to jump off the Great Wall together.
As the moon soaks through the clouds above in a luminous smear, Li Shiming wraps his arm around me as if attempting another dance. Thanks to the cascading disasters, Sima Yi got enough support from his fellow Central Command strategists to grant us spirit armor privileges, partly to help with training, partly to deter further attacks from other pilots. The weight of the Vermilion Bird's armor's expansive scarlet wings, each longer than we are tall, teeters us on the concrete edge we're on. The weather-stained and lichen-coated side of the wall plunges down through the night, the ground so distant it's nothing but beckoning oblivion. I would have liked to learn to fly from solid ground, but Sima Yi says I could accidentally waste a lot of qi trying to figure it out, so he's only letting me have one try under his strict terms. A night wind keens across the Hunduan wilds like a dead concubine crying out from the beyond, stirring Li Shiming's chopped hair, chilling me down to the marrow. His tremors haven't completely stopped, and his features remain lifeless and impassive, weighed down by heavy shadows. If it was strange to see the most powerful pilot in Huaxia without a crown before, it looks even weirder now that he's armored. I mean, the armor is so grandiose with its wings and long phoenix-like skirts and metal feathers flaring over his shoulders. And then there's just his head. Something is clearly missing. I'm wondering what his crown would look like when Sima Yi gives the official order to jump! For the first time in the flesh, I witnessed the spectacle of Li Shiming, the Iron Demon, conducting his qi. Fire-red radiance scorches like rivers of lava under his skin and courses into his armor. Heat rushes against my body pressed to his. His irises singe as bright as embers. His wings spread against the night, ablaze. Since the maximum force with which someone can channel their qi is directly proportional to their spirit pressure, this really is the most intense that anyone in Huaxia can look right now. By a sonic crack of his wings, he springs off the wall with me in his arms. I cling to his hot armor, biting back a scream at the sudden weightlessness. Wind whooshes in my ears. The world loses its edge, its logic. The tea-heated gusts of his wing beast churn around us. I have no idea if it means we're dying or not, and I can't bear to open my eyes to confirm. However, as oxygen shudders in and out of my lungs, frustration sizzles inside me. Is this who I want to be? A girl who has to stay attached to a boy? With a deep breath, I channel my metal white qi outward from the meridians in my body. A cool sensation floods through my spine and into my armor. I untangle from Li Shiming, pushing off his chest for good measure. My terror spikes when I immediately pitch down, but I flap my wings again and again, pouring my qi into them relentless. Pale radiance puffs along the edges of my view, the gusts chill, the sweat drenching me. And just like that, I'm flying. My vast wings buoy me on the wind, defying gravity, defying death. Exhilaration buzzes through every cell in my body as twinkling and unearthly as starlight. Slowly, I soar higher while turning in a circle, taking in the world with new eyes. A far bigger world, filled with so much more space and sound and freedom. It's a vantage point only chrysalises should have. Yet here I am, a human, bobbling through the air as if it were as wide and cradling as the Hunduan-filled ocean at the very east of Huaxia. The squares of light from the watchtowers outside the Great Wall make a serpent constellation from horizon to horizon. I look at my arms, my very own metal qi, cold and calm and silver white, flows beneath the feather texture of my armor. So many emotions spill free inside me that I have no idea how to handle it, to control it, to keep it from overflowing from my eyes as wind-blown tears. Sobs rack my weightless body so hard that I whirl off balance, one wing higher than the other. Li Shiming pulses up after me and catches me by the waist.
My cold wing beats mingle with his hot ones like shared breath. I'm so overwhelmed that I make no move to shove him away. Even walking was a luxury for me. I croak, hammering my fist on his feathery breastplate. Then I outright lean against it. The heat of his tea warms my cheek. He says nothing, just holds me, bobbing in midair, in the unthinkable distance between heaven and earth that humans are not supposed to reach. Despite all that, and Sima Yi looking quite pleased after we return to the wall, our synergy doesn't improve.
You're just yielding to him, not cooperating with him, Sima Yi yells at me after Li Shiming drags me through yet another clumsy routine on the ice rink. It is not the same thing. Easy for him to yap about. He should try cooperating on slick ice with someone whose mind is constantly straying in 100 directions to wherever the nearest bottle of liquor is. By our fifth day of training, a constant anxiety quivers inside me, chipping at my hope that we can pull ourselves together in time. As if mirroring my mood, a thunderstorm beats against a rink building, rumbling through the concrete and tinkling down the windows. Hey, Sima Yi beckons me from the edge of the rink when Li Shiming sulks off to a lavatory break. I need to talk to you. About what? I skate toward him hesitantly, shifting my wings behind me for balance. Having armor has at least stopped us from falling all over the ice and kept my feet from hurting too much. Sima Yi clenches the low glass barrier surrounding the rink. You'd better not be tangled up in a love triangle. My tiny skates screech to a stop,